ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Text 17 from Canto 3, Chapter 24. We're about in the middle of Lord Brahma's words to Kardama. Of course, Devahuti is also there, as we've been speaking. It's not just the three of them. There's the daughters, Kardama and Devahuti's daughters. And the demigods are also there, witnessing all of this. Narada and the Kumaras are also there. It's quite a scene. Kapila Dev, within the womb, yet to be born. Interesting, this verse is describing his features when he's matured, while he's still within the womb. He's a pretty good astrologer. So Brahma's speaking to his son, Kardama, in the presence of all these personalities. The Sanskrit, these phrases, jnana-vijnana, yogena, we have similar, very close language in Bhagavad Gita. Karmana Udharan Jata Hiranya Kesha. Golden hair. Padmaksha Padma Mudra Padambuja. By mystic yoga and the practical application of knowledge from scriptures, Kapila Muni, who is characterized by his golden hair, his eyes just like lotus petals, and his lotus feet, which bear the marks of lotus flowers, will uproot the deep-rooted desire for work in the material world. Purport. Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the activities and bodily features of Kapila Muni are very nicely described. The activities of Kapila Muni are forecast herein. He will present the philosophy of Sankhya in such a way that by studying his philosophy, people will be able to uproot the deep-rooted desire for karma, fruit of activities. Everyone in this material world engages in achieving the fruits of his labor. A man tries to be happy by achieving the fruits of his own honest labor. But actually he becomes more and more entangled. One cannot get out of this entanglement unless he has perfect knowledge, kama, or devotional service. End of paragraph. Those who are trying to get out of the entanglement by speculation are doing their best, but in the Vedic scriptures we find that if one has taken to the devotional service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness, he can very easily, right, it's really easy, uproot the deep-rooted desire for fruitive activities. Sankhya philosophy will be broadcast by Kapila Muni for that purpose. His bodily features are also described here in Jnana. Does not refer to ordinary research work. Jnana entails receiving knowledge from the scriptures through the spiritual master by disciplic succession. In the modern age, there is a tendency to do research by mental speculation and concoction, but the man who speculates forgets that he himself is subject to the four defects of nature. He is sure to commit mistakes. His senses are imperfect. He is sure to fall into illusion. And he is cheating. Unless one has perfect knowledge from disciplic succession, he simply puts forth some theories of his own creation, semicolon, therefore he is cheating people. Jnana means knowledge received through disciplic succession from the scripture. And vijnana means practical application of such knowledge. Kapila Muni Sankhya system of philosophy is based on jnana and vijnana. So Brahma goes on with other... Now he's... Next he's going to directly address Devahuti, because remember from the the previous chapter, Devahuti has appealed to Kardama to give her the means of achieving liberation, because she's neglected that, she says. And in the beginning of this chapter, Kardama Muni says, be peaceful. You are very qualified. The Supreme Lord is going to appear as your son, our son, and he will take care of that. Now here's Brahma saying, within the womb of Devahuti is the Supreme Lord, Kapila Muni, and he is going to deliver it. And the means of delivering it is touched on in this verse, and then certainly also the purport. So several things. There's four yugas that cycle again and again. And in each of those four yugas, there's a particular process suitable for achieving perfection in spiritual life. And in Satya Yuga, it's meditation, dhyayate, meditation. And we've discussed this before, but no harm to go over it again. Kardamuni, the father of Kapila Dev, has already done this. He did meditation. But he didn't just do meditation, and same the so. Preceding meditation is, we touched on this Tuesday evening, meditation on what? So there must be knowledge, sambandhagyan, knowledge of the relationship of everything with the source of emanation. Sambandhagyan. And based upon that sambandhagyan, then there's a process, meditation. And that meditation process, when done properly, it leads to vijnana, realization. Realization of what? Realization of the object of meditation. And in the case of Satya Yoga, it's Paramatma. Meditation leads to Paramatma realization. But as we know from... There's a theme to all of this. Second canto, chapter 2, is meditation on Supersoul. And where does that lead one to? If you do it properly, it leads to devotional service. Devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not simply meditate on Paramatma, full stop. It leads to engagement in devotional service. So, the Sankhya, now back to the purport, the Sankhya philosophy that Kapila is going to teach, Brahma is indicating, it's enriched, or it's replete with jnana and vijnana. Now, Bhagavad Gita chapter 12, there's this nice hierarchy. It's the chapter 12 begins with a question: which do you consider to be better? Meditation on the personal and impersonal. Answer: meditation on the personal. And there's two reasons why. It's natural, and the other is you get Krishna's help. The others are natural, and you don't get Krishna's help. really simple, which is better. And then Krishna goes on to detail what that better looks like in the mature stage. Yesterday there was some question about maturity in contrast with purity. So the mature stage is same thing as Krishna says, it, no surprise, at the end of chapter 6. Mind fixed on Krishna, intelligence engaged fully in serving him. Only at the end of 6 it's mind fixed upon him and engaged fully in activities. So the activities connects directly with this verse's message. Intelligence is needed. Intelligence is given by Krishna, but intelligence is needed to go beyond what everybody's stuck on, including, you know, nice devotees. Stuck on what? Stuck on fruitive activities. We import that tendency into the arena of devotional service. Part of our baggage. We want something from the something that we do. Fruitive activities. It's passion. You do something because you want something. So without devotional service, we do something with the senses, engaging in the objects of the senses because we want something. Passion. Own, create, possess, find some satisfaction in doing something, and we're restless unless we're those moved by passion, unless we're doing something, creating something, owning something, enjoying something. You got to have the carrot at the end of the stick. So we carry that tendency, fruitive tendency, with us into the arena of devotional service. In the, just on this topic of mindfulness, because I've been speaking on it at the colleges, there's a nice verse, Canto 6, Chapter 2, where Shukadeva Goswami says, these other processes that may bring elevation don't sustain, including development of knowledge and meditation and yoga and other elevating processes, they don't sustain because the mind is influenced by the modes of nature, like passion and fruitive activities. And so even if one feels inspired by something, we've all gone through this so many times, we have this wonderful whatever it is, wonderful festival, the wonderful seminar, wonderful experience, or wonderful retreat, or wonderful something, and our consciousness goes up. And then there's always the question, how are we going to sustain this up? Because experiences, modes of nature influencing the mind, and the tendency of our, when bhakti slackens, so bhakti has the power to cut that. And there isn't something else that has the power to cut that. That's later in Kapila's teachings. So there's chapter 12, this highest position, mind and intelligence absorbed. If you can't do that, follow the regulations of bhakti, it'll help you get that. If you can't follow the regulations of bhakti, be detached from your work. Karma Palatyag, Bhagavad Gita's message. If you can't do that, then cultivate knowledge. Now what's that cultivate knowledge? Here it is. Not go to university and get a degree. Or even go to a library that has spiritual books and read spiritual books. Because speculative tendency will be fully operative. So what does it mean? It means it's twice in the purport. It's almost the same language, twice in the purport. Hearing into simplic succession. And then, of course, that implies receiving that which you've heard, because the next is you apply it. Small thing. Apply what you've heard. And then you act on knowledge and you get vigyan, you get realization. Practical knowledge. Not knowledge for knowledge's sake, practical knowledge. And what we're hearing in the purport is that's the foundation of the Sankhya system. Sankhya system is a very elaborate sambandha gyan. There's the category of spirit, the category of matter, different divisions of both, and they're all connected to the Supreme. Now what? You apply it. You act within that framework of sambandha gyan, serving the Supreme, devotional service and practice. And then that bears some fruit. Vigyan and practical experience on the soul platform. And intelligence becomes illumined. And the senses become purified. Just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, one who studies the sacred conversation is worshipping me by his intelligence. So what's the intelligence that becomes purified by worship of Krishna, by studying Bhagavad Gita? You apply it. You live by it. You bring it inside and it becomes your life. Not theoretically. Practically. Small thing. Application. Small thing. But imperative. So now back to the theme that's at the beginning, the end of the previous chapter, Devahuti's question, liberation, and Kardama's reply, Kapila will bring it. Brahma's confirming, Kapila's going to bring it. He doesn't use the statement in text 17 of Sankhya philosophy. Prabhupada brings that into the purport. It just says, by mystic yoga. Now this mystic yoga, I mean, Kardama already was this, you know, amazing mystic yogi in so many ways. So many ways he demonstrated, so many ways. Superlative mystic yogi. But he didn't deploy it, the mysticism, to, you know, be the show off, show bottle, here's some mystic yoga, look at me. It was in service to Krishna, or service to Lord Vishnu, who was going to become his son. And in his relationship with Devahuti, his good wife. Otherwise, it was withheld, not displayed. So it was displayed for service, purpose only. So, but that mystic yoga, take it another way, and it's the process of the age, the process of meditation. That's an integral part of the yoga system, which leads in its topmost stage to bhakti. Madgate nantaratmana shradhavan bhajate yomam. That's the best of all yoga systems, so that's what Kapila is teaching. That's what Kardama Muni was doing and experienced the fruit of, and were invited into the same. So although Dhyan Yoga is chapter 6, what immediately follows, making the connection between that meditation process of Satya Yoga and the bhakti process, which is the essence of Bhagavad Gita, that's the fruit of that dhyan process. The one that's just, you sit in a sacred place with half-closed eyes on a deer skin and etc., etc. That mechanical system leads to devotional service as we know it, or devotional service as Kardama did it, or devotional service as Kapila is going to teach it, and we'll find at the end of this whole section, Canto 3, Devahuti does it. She's already a pure devotee, but she's demonstrating how to take instructions that she receives from Kapila Dev, Sankhya philosophy, and live a life of pure devotion. I hope I'm getting my point across. Knowledge isn't a separate entity. It's a subset of the bhakti process. It's the knowledge of hearing, the knowledge that comes from hearing, and then the knowledge that we hear, we apply. And the knowledge we apply brings us into a life of full devotional service that you have inside and you live outside. Now the form in Satyuga is different than Kali Yuga. The principle isn't different. So it's a nice tapestry. Beginning of Satya Yoga, and we're, 5,000 years plus into Kali Yuga, the principles aren't different. So it's perfectly applicable, perfectly relevant. Interesting. There's mention of Kapila's hair as golden. There are other references that I've come across in other Puranic literature, references that come from our acharyas, not that I've read these other things, where Kapila's features are described somewhat differently. How's that? Well, one explanation commonly that we hear is there are different yuga cycles, and therefore there's different kapilas, and his appearances are different, so that's just fine. Here, speaking of Devahuti Putra Kapila, his hair is golden, his eyes are like lotus petals, and his lotus feet, which bear the marks of lotus flowers, his lotus feet will uproot the deep-rooted desire for work in this material world. So, you last thing, because I can't go as long as I went yesterday. I have to have a shorter class today. Material existence is cyclical. Our understanding is the root of it is ignorance. The essence of that ignorance is ignoring Krishna. And with that misuse of free will, ignoring Krishna, comes contact with Prakriti in the mood of imitating Krishna or imitating Purusha. And so that requires two things, passion and ignorance. So guess what? That's waiting for us. So during the period of cosmic annihilation, when the conscious living entity is in a state of deep sleep, susupti, consciousness is there, but very covered, the living entities are then cast by the glance of Mahavishnu along with time energy into Pradhan, and the whole show starts again. And the modes of nature that were dormant because time and the living entity weren't there, they start to activate. And then the elements and creation, and that there's passion and ignorance acting upon the living entity. And the passion and ignorance are ways in which Prakriti works, and Prakriti works under the direction of Krishna or Supersoul, Paramatma's directing Prakriti. You can't get out of jail. You can't get out of that complexity by any effort you may make. It's an endless struggle. Unless, according to Bhagavad Gita, and similarly right here in this purport, unless the bhakti principle is again accepted which comes by descending mercy through sound vibration, transcendental knowledge, acknowledging that transcendental knowledge, receiving it, taking it up, applying it, living a life in devotion. The power of, when purified, when matured, these two terms again, purity and maturity, when purified and reaching a state of maturity, the chidanti kovidas tasya, the power of bhakti has the power to cut, in the language of Canto 1, Chapter 2, the knot of the internet meaning this knot of the binding of the soul to matter, that's the false ego, along with then the material mind, material intelligence, and material mind is a big botheration. It's very misleading. And material intelligence, another big problem. We need practical intelligence, how to do stuff. But when we deploy that in Krishna service by the power of bhakti, then it takes on its proper feature, and otherwise it's part of the bondage. So bhakti has the power to cut that. And this contact with the mode of passion, which brings us into the material world and keeps us here as in this feature of fruitive activities. It's a nice term. It's an English translation of karma. Not just activity, but fruitive activity. It's points specifically to contamination of the mode of passion, fruitive activity, doing something because you want something. What's life like when you do something when you don't want something? Who knows what that one is? We all do something because we want something. You can say even as devotees, we do something because we want something. What is it? You know, it's not, we're not impersonalists or voidists. We do something because we want something, but it's not want something in a separate interest from Krishna. It's not just spin the dial. It's a whole other paradigm. That's the bhakti paradigm. Everything for Krishna. And it takes a while. And the means to get there is the hearing and chanting. Shravanam Kirtanam. Vishnu Smaranam. Oh, yes. Now I remember. That's my real life. Remember doesn't mean memorization, like, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. It's remembering what we've forgotten. Remembering who we are. Remembering who is the Supreme. Because we've forgotten. Covered by Maya or fruitive intention in everything that we do. It was just like this blocks. Or back again to this, if we have this nice experience, elevating experience, then we sag back down again. Because that pernicious fruitive activity tendency, the mode of passion. So how you can get free from it? Struggle all you like, you're not going to get free from it. The bhakti process has the power. So he, Kapila, is going to deliver that to Devahuti, and then following Devahuti, the canto ends with Devahuti, and he departs, and she does what he says, and she gets perfection. But step by step, it's really slow motion. It's really very interesting, that final section. Very relevant. But Kapila then goes on to others that he also gives these instructions to. It's not detailed, but there's mentioned in the scripture who are the others that Kapila gives these teachings to. He does. Leads to bhakti. Okay, so any discussion?
When you are summarizing, you may have touched upon a few points. I seek more clarity, particularly with respect to my situation. Particularly when practicing devotional service, we heard that purification happens. And particularly for me, what I am experiencing is like it's like layers and layers.
Layers and layers.
Past impressions and activities are being built up. And while that's happening, it looks like it's almost like I'm identified with the past activities.
Very much.
And it's almost baked into me. And it's very challenging and very intense when that purification is happening.
Challenging and?
Intense. When
that
purification is happening, and it's almost like I'm disoriented. The instruction I receive is I should not identify with it, but it's almost like it feels like it's part of me and it's me. So it's a struggle there to like go beyond that.
Welcome to the club. Just yesterday, I received a letter from somebody that said, in different words, exactly that. Very intense. Painful. And it's because of the identification. Now, you know, what's the alternative? You don't feel that pain. Don't go through the purification. And let it rule your life. That's an option. But a devotee chooses, no, I don't want that. And therefore, there's the purification. And therefore, there's the peeling, and there's, you know, the misidentification, and the discomfort, and disorientation, all of that. We're ready for that. But there has to be, to help you and this other devotee, the why is really important. Why am I doing this? And when the why, it's very simple, when the principle, when the why is clear, the what and the how is just fine. It requires faith in both the why and the process, and the source of the process, like Krishna, the cyclic succession representing him, and the immediate representatives of Krishna. But so faith has to be there that it's going to take me to the goal. That's the Abhideya. But start, you know, so Sambandha. Who am I? It's really good to go back to fundamentally revisit such, you know, questions. Who am I? And is it really important to me that I know who I am? Instead of identifying with, you know, a more comfortable life of illusion. And when the why is strong, the revisit and recharge it, then you go forward. And it also helps recalibrate faith. It's good. It's not a one-time deal. We do it again and again. Commit and recommit and recommit and recommit with higher, I don't know, higher octane, higher focus. Spiritual life isn't for lazy people. You can't become spiritually benefited and be lazy. They don't go together. Yes, Mahamantra.
It's fine. Unless we hear from the cyclic succession, the knowledge doesn't become a quality.
Knowledge doesn't become what? What's the word? Knowledge doesn't become
internal quality.
Doesn't become an internal quality. Okay. There's something else. It's application also. But go ahead.
That's the whole. So once we know theoretically what I need to do, and then the application part,
yeah. Well, that's what he's talking about,
yes,
too.
Yes. Hearing is there. Hankering is there. Is it just the Manodharmalyam or... I feel like I'm trailing back, you know, in the application.
You feel like you're doing what?
I'm falling behind when it comes to application.
Okay, that's an honest acknowledgement. And then? And then?
So that I...
Hit the reset button. I can go into a lamentation mode. Or I can go into a... my application is inadequate. Now what am I going to do? What's a doable step in the direction of better application? Yeah. Cultivation. Yeah. And what are some resources that will help me do that little step forward? One word is change, another word is transformation of consciousness. So we have to, the application is, we don't have to change who we are, we just apply what we know in doable steps and then stay with it. It's just like, you know, anything. Supposing somebody, we introduce people to Krishna consciousness, and at some point we say, here's Bhagavad Gita, and here's some Mahamantra, and some beads. So what do you think you can do? Chanting, well, I can chant, you know, one round a day. Okay, great. And stay with it. How's it going? I'm chanting one round a day. Great. Maybe you want to start chanting too. Like that. You know, I read Bhagavad Gita once in a while. Well, it's a nice idea if you read a little bit every day. So, like that. So, as with the beginning, so further progress. It's the same principle. I'm here, and I know I want to be there. So, what's the step to get to where I want to be? What are some resources that I can call upon? And, again, revisit the why. Why is it really important to me, or is it like I'm just competing with others and I want to show that I'm good and I don't want to be bad and lesser, I'm this competition mode thing? That's not sustainable. It's not satisfying either. Even when you're, you know, going in the fast lane, it's not satisfying. So that, you know, we're influenced by the modes, by passion and ignorance. So, go into this other. You do something because this is the mode of goodness. It's in chapter 29 of Canto 3. It's, I do something because I know it will purify me. That's a mode of goodness, motivation. I know what is to be done. Therefore I do. Mode of goodness. And we know, we're over here and over there. The other modes have influenced us too much. And therefore, just like the previous question, it's painful to see that how strongly I've been influenced by this and that, and it's ruling my life. It's in a, you know, lower layer that the other layers got peeled off, and now I'm seeing that layer, and that's part of what's ruling my life. And, you know, so keep going forward. The process is gradual because we're attached. And if we try to go not gradual, it's intermittent. It doesn't sustain. And we go, you know, three steps, and then we go back five steps, and we feel, oh boy, I failed. We go into the lamentation thing again. So just do something that's sustainable, and resources with commitment, and all kinds of things start to happen that aren't in the moment. It could be another challenge, who knows? But it could be a breakthrough, or who knows? But it's progress. Commitment to move forward on the path of bhakti with a strong why, with faith. That's what we have to do. You had a question from yesterday that you didn't get to ask, and we're at 23 minutes after 7. When the 7:30 bell rings, we're going to end.
The reason I asked is yesterday, like, what part am I from my body, right? So in the soul, right?
You're the soul. You're not the body.
Yeah. Yes. But when we leave the body, right? So there's still some life left in it.
Well, there's other living entities besides you in the body.
Yeah.
A zillion. There's still life in the body because there's other living entities in the body. Just in your intestines. Or your stomach. What to speak of, you know, the bloodstream. You ever look through a high-powered microscope at blood cells? And there's a zillion just streaming around in the blood?
Yes. Though we have a lot of... our body itself has a lot of other life in it.
Yes, it does.
Right? But our own flesh is still alive, and
the flesh isn't alive. That's a misnomer. There are living entities situated in all these different parts of the body, and they're living off of that you know, their nourishment for that you know, microbial or whatever it is entity is. The matter, the configuration of matter that's available to them. Just like the different ways in which living entities take birth, one of them is fermentation. Another is perspiration. So souls take shelter in those mediums. And they, you know, they're alive. And they're feeding off of the perspiration, or they're feeding off of the fermented matter. Souls take shelter there. So, but it's, they're not conscious like you're conscious. You're conscious of the whole deal. To some extent. Not perfectly, but to some extent. And they're not. They're conscious of their little field. Or just, you know, the problem is false ego, frankly. They're conscious of their little field, we're conscious of this field, and Krishna's conscious of all fields. And our goal is to become Krishna conscious and get free from me consciousness, my field. Don't go at it with mental, my advice. The thoughtfulness with which you approach, because the nature of your questions are very thoughtful, consistently very thoughtful. You're not just... You're contemplating the philosophy or the teachings of Bhagavad Gita in a very thoughtful way. I commend you. Go beyond that pondering of how does this fit together with that, fit together with that. Take the deeper message, and then lots of things will become very clear to you. The deeper message is this soul that's occupying the human body has a potential of realizing, getting out of the cycle of birth and death by realizing their relationship with Krishna. Now, there's certainly no harm in contemplating carefully. I'd like to really clearly understand questions such as this. More important, and the clarity of understanding that particular question and others will come when let me put my attention on how can I, the spirit soul that's presently inhabiting this body and is conscious of this body, become conscious of Krishna. How can I best achieve that? And not to say you don't ask that question, but focus on that question, the pleasing Krishna question, how to best please Krishna question, and lots of illumination will come. That one who knows Krishna becomes the knower of all things, according to the Vedas. Now, the knower of all things doesn't mean trivia. How many windows are there in the Empire State Building? How many grains of sand are there in the Sahara Desert? It's not knowledge of trivia. It's knowledge of the essence of things. That light goes on. According to what Prabhupada has explained, the practical ways to engage in service such that you can please Krishna. That inquisitive spirit that you have is fantastic, very commendable. Direct it towards what's the best way for me to be the spirit soul inhabiting this body, giving pleasure to the Supreme Soul. The means of understanding the Supreme Soul, the medium is bhakti. Let me understand him by trying to please him. What's the best way? And again, one more time. You may not have the answer to that, but redirect this inquisitive spirit towards that territory, and many other things will be understood automatically, because it's there in the scripture, and when you read it, it's clear, not difficult. Take one more question. Yes. Since
couple of years. Yeah.
Fantastic.
But I still have a question in my mind, like, what is the main reason I'm here? And
good question.
When Krishna is so merciful, so why can't he take all of us at the same time, like God?
Oh, he can. We don't want. You can say you want, but there's a whole lot of other wants.
What is the reason behind my staying here, and what I need to really understand?
Because there's two purposes of creation according to scripture. One, living entities desire to be independent from Krishna. Not possible. All right, well, you have that desire. I don't advise it, but if you have that desire, then here's an illusion, and you can try to act out that desire of being independent from Krishna, being an enjoyer, independent of Krishna. It's a strong one. That's this fruit of activities thing. The other is to rectify that and restore the original consciousness of my real happiness is love of the Supreme. So now you, for 2 years, are somewhere between the two. And you're not, Krishna can take you, but you're not eligible to enter because it's not Shuddha yet. He can. Just dust you off and, you know. Okay, now you're Shuddha. But he doesn't, because there's free will. And he doesn't interfere with your free will, or my free will, or any all the other living entities that are here, their free will. He doesn't do that. He could do that. He doesn't do that. Because the spiritual world is a place of love, where it's voluntary.
He's so merciful,
but yeah. You're saying no. He doesn't interfere. That's part of love. That's part of love. He doesn't interfere. He doesn't force.
I mean, all these materials like mobiles or laptops, I mean, why are these getting invented like atheists?
Well, you know the answer to that. And just keeping it in real simple language, we want to enjoy. We want to imitate the enjoyer. And there's a tool that I can imitate the enjoyer. I can be distracted and spend hours and hours and hours in distraction. Now, what about devotees? Well, can that be used in Krishna service? If it can be used in Krishna service, we accept it. There's a risk, because then I could get into this enjoying spirit with my laptop and mobile. And some people do. I had this young American kid come to me some time ago in Los Angeles crying. I'm addicted to my computer. I keep going to websites and it's all garbage stuff. And what do I do? You know, just close your computer. You can't do it. So then, you know, regulate. And only do for Krishna. Get to that place. It's distraction. You know, why distraction? Because we want it. It's just meditate on it rather than whining and complaining. Why is it like this? We wanted it. It's a principle. Why would we want something dumb? There's no good reason. It's dumb. It's very foolish. There's no good reason. And Krishna doesn't interfere. You parent? Sometimes children want to do something that mother doesn't understand. It's not wholesome. You can just be the dictator and say no. And when you're not around, they're going to do it. So, Krishna is loving too. He doesn't force. He invites us to voluntarily say yes. You can learn a lot about Krishna from parenting. You know, and then the children looking up at you, why don't you let us, etc. We want the kingdom of God without God. We want to be the enjoyers of God's kingdom. It's deeply ingrained. The bhakti principle can overcome it. Take it. Be very clear what it is and why. And take it. And then you go. Krishna will take you. He has the power. You don't. You just have to say yes to Krishna. And he'll say yes to you. And you say mix to Krishna and it's mixed to you. Yayatamam prapadyante. Tangs tataiva bhajamyam. Bhagavad Gita. As they regard me, I reciprocate. So don't blame him. Look at yourself. The situation is there. The resources are there. Make a decision. Do I want this or not? Or somewhere, do I want something in between the mix? And if you want something beyond the mix, take steps just like this question here, towards the unmixed. Krishna will help you. You can't do it on your own. That's the Say Yes to Krishna program. You cultivate it. Okay, thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai.